Let's open the scriptures now to Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 21. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let us pray. God, our Father, we give you thanks that you have moved us out of darkness and into light through Christ. We need more instruction and wisdom about how to understand your will, what your will is, and how to do it. We trust that you will speak to us now as we listen for your word. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. First, I commend you for your wisdom, because by being here for worship today, you've chosen wisely. That's the first thing I'd like to say to you. After another week of following Jesus and applying the gospel to your life and living out the good news of the kingdom in your context and circumstances of your daily life, you've come back to this place this morning, this place where we sing and pray and preach. Another Sunday has been given to us. That window of opportunity has opened, and you've seized it. You're here in the Lord's house with the Lord's people to hear the Lord's word for your life on the Lord's day. I think that's a sign of wisdom, according to our scripture passage here today. Wisdom. But you also know that worshiping the Lord when you're away from the church, in between Sundays, that takes as much, if not more, wisdom than just what's displayed by coming to his house on Sundays. That too is part of why you're here, to gain further wisdom, to grow in it, to become a wiser person, to know more of the Lord's will and how to do it in your life, how to embody and practice his will in view of his coming kingdom. In other words, you're here today because you want to be wise, not foolish, as our scripture passage says, wise, whether you're at church or away from church. Wisdom. Be very careful then how you live, our text says today. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. That's the exhortation that opens the last part of our scripture passage that I read just a few moments ago. Notice how these words operate with a strong sense of time. And I don't mean time just in the sense of clock or calendar, but time more in the sense of occasion, opportunity, the moment. Something is ready or ripe to be seized. That sense of time. Some of you may recognize the King James rendering of that verse. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. The Greek word that's translated into a sense of time there is the word kairos. And it has to do not so much with time, like I said, in the sense of clock or calendar, but it means an opportune moment or season that calls for some kind of decision or some kind of action. In other words, this isn't the kind of time that you measure in seconds or minutes or hours. It's the kind of time that you gauge by signs and circumstances and conditions. For instance, it's one thing to define fall as a season that began this past Thursday, September 22nd, and ends on the first day of winter, December 21st. But it's another thing to define fall, isn't it, by cooler temperatures, autumn leaves, the return of football, pumpkin farms, or maybe the latest aroma from Yankee Candle, to read the seasons by these kinds of things, not just by the clock. When we see and when we smell these kinds of things, we know that we're entering a whole new season, not just another block of time that happens to have some different characteristics from the other blocks of time during the course of the year. And with this new season will come certain kinds of circumstances, certain kinds of opportunities that might not be there during other times of the year. And we want to seize those things. We want to see what's uniquely available to us during, say, this part of the year that isn't there the rest of the year. There may be some things that are the same. Probably also some things that are very different. So we want to maximize what's uniquely available to us during this part of the year. Part of what that means is that when we make this transition from one season to another, we get an even stronger sense of how time passes, doesn't it? Time passes. One season comes to a close. Another season gets underway. And we become more and more aware of the shortness of life, really. And the shortness of those seasons within life as well. It's sort of like the way that Dr. Seuss once wrote, "How did it get late so soon? It's night before it's afternoon. December is here before it's June. My goodness, how the time has flown. How did it get late so soon?" Now, according to our scripture passage, our own concept of time isn't really the only place where it's gotten late sooner than we may have expected. Even on God's calendar, it's gotten later than it used to be. The end that has begun through Jesus Christ moves on, we're told, toward the full reconciliation of all things in Christ. And here in the present, we who confess Him as Lord are called to live a distinctive kind of life in a world that resists the reign of God and the kingdom of God. So we're told to be very careful, very wise about how we live. And that includes seizing every opportunity to do the will of God in our lives. Every opportunity. Go back to our text. Making the most of every opportunity is the way it puts it in the NIV. Other translations render it making the most of the time, or making the best use of the time. That's another way to render it. The terminology is slightly different, but the essence of it is really the same thing. And that means staying alert, staying responsive to opportunities to preach and to practice the love and the life of God's kingdom. Stay alert, be on your toes, be responsive to those opportunities. And that's because the Greek word behind this sense of time comes from the vocabulary of commerce, the language of the marketplace. This word, it has to do basically with snapping up a bargain while it's available. Snapping up a bargain while it's available. Now, if there's anything that can get us motivated, it's the possibility of a bargain of some sort. Some stores like to market everything they sell all the time as a good deal. It's no accident that one company's name is Ollie's Bargain Barn. Good stuff, cheap. Or there's the option of dropping the price on certain items for a particular period of time, and that makes advertising slogans like hurry, don't miss it, or the clock is ticking, or limited time offer, these kinds of things. These have a way of sort of stimulating our interest and getting us up off the couch and into the aisles. And sometimes you don't even have to get up off the couch, right? If you like to watch your favorite home shopping channel, there's always, in many cases, that corner of the screen where they're telling you how many of that particular item are left, the quantity, or that clock ticking before that particular deal is about to go away or vanish. And in cases like those kinds of circumstances, why even have to get up? Just grab your phone, make the call, grab that bargain while you can from your own comfort. Bargains have a way of motivating us and moving us into action, snapping up that bargain while it lasts. And when it comes to bargain hunting, it's about seizing that opportunity, right? So when you think about it, seizing that opportunity, which we know plenty about, shouldn't the same be true about the way that we deal in the daily business of God's kingdom in our lives? Seizing the opportunities day in and day out, we're constantly and continually presented with opportunities to participate ourselves in the redemptive work of God and the mission of God in the world. They're put before us. And in order to take advantage of those moments and make the most of those occasions, we need to stay alert, be responsive whenever the situation or that occasion, whatever it is, presents itself to us. While it lasts, I think a good way to summarize is that we need to have more of an opportunity mindset than just an efficiency mindset. But that's hard for us, and it's hard for us because we often live such lives that are driven by the clock, driven by the calendar. We're operating, it seems like, so much of the time on some kind of deadline, that has to be met, and our focus often is on doing as much as we can in as little time as we can. And in the process, our lives end up getting focused primarily on efficiency, productivity, things that can be good in lots of different ways. But from a Christian standpoint, I think living wisely, like our scripture passage today tells us, living wisely is about more than just a list of accomplishments and a jam-packed day planner. It's about more than that. Living wisely isn't, we're told, about filling up every minute. Living wisely is about seizing the opportunities that are available to us day in and day out. I like the way that in his book, Awakening the Quieter Virtues, Gregory Spencer puts it when he says, one of the louder virtues in American culture is efficiency. It's what makes the clock of capitalism tick. We're remarkably skilled at getting things done, at thinking, yes, we can, and then putting forth our best effort to accomplish many tasks in a short time. Often efficiency serves us well, but this way of valuing time can tick-tock into our worldview, leading us to measure everything by the stopwatch, time. We march against it, beat it, save it, manage it, spend it, and try not to kill it or waste it. We feel we must fill days, fill them with industrious business, busyness. He goes on to talk about how when his daughters were young, he used to sort of mourn the fact that he didn't have more opportunity to write and get into his writing, but he talked about how he got perspective on that himself when others would come to him and say, you know, your daughters are only toddlers once in your life. There may be time later for writing. Or others would look at him and point to his daughters and say, here, these are your publications. This is what is coming forth. He says, these friends encourage me to view time by the opportunity presented. Time according to what the season calls for. Time well used is time that appropriately meets the needs of the moment, not time measured by the demands of the clock. So it's a challenge to us to learn how to live with a mindset of opportunity, not just a mindset of efficiency. Life lived by the occasion, not just life lived by the clock or the deadline or what makes us productive. And I'm not saying that to try to downplay the importance of time or the significance of how time passes. Time is one of the most precious commodities that God gives to each of us, that gift of time. I'm simply saying that as a Christian, being a faithful steward of time is about realizing and recognizing those opportunities where there are people or events or experiences or occasions right there in front of you that need you to be responsive and alert to do the will of God, to bear witness to new life in Christ. And those kinds of opportunities can be created by a variety of factors. It may be a situation where you see how circumstances have all come into place in a particular moment that leads you to see that, you know, this I think is what God wants me to do here and now in this moment. Maybe there's a person in front of you or a need in front of you or some other kind of situation right before you. You know, I need to do something or say something here and now in this moment that God has opened up for me to bear witness to the life and love of his kingdom, because I may not get another chance to say it or do it than right here, right now. It could be that kind of occasion when you need to seize the opportunity. Or maybe you're at a certain stage or age in your life now where you have certain resources or skills or opportunities that weren't there at another period in your life. And you're thinking, well, now's the time in my life when I need to focus on doing this, sharing this gift, this experience, this skill in ways that I just didn't have the opportunity to earlier in life because things were different then than they are now based on where I'm at in life. In my journey, it could be that kind of circumstances. Or maybe God has called and gifted you for particular forms of ministry in the church. And you see that now's the time that I need to implement those gifts, those skills, those resources in the life of the church, rather than thinking that there might be a better time somewhere down the road later on to do that. No, now is the time that God is trying to show you. And sometimes it's not just the opportunities, it's sometimes the quantity of the opportunities. Maybe too many opportunities, maybe too many options, especially if they're good options, right? And there are lots of different ones that may call for our attention and our response. So you need wisdom from God in order to know what are the most vital things that I need to be doing right now at this point where I am, under these circumstances, at this place in my life and in my journey. What are those things at this point in your journey? Though there may be many, many good things you could be doing, what are the most vital and important things? Which opportunities do you need to be saying yes to? Which ones do you need to be saying no to? And which ones do you need to be saying, well, maybe to, but perhaps just maybe for now, perhaps at a later time? Those kinds of things. One thing, as we hear in our scripture passage today, is for sure. Namely, that is that we beware the foolishness of wasted opportunities. Foolishness is what that's called. The foolishness of wasted opportunities. So be wise and watchful so that you don't squander or waste those moments, those seasons, those occasions, those circumstances where your work and witness for the kingdom is needed. in whatever way it's called upon. There was a man named Dallas Willard. He was a spiritual teacher, mentor, author, who died a few years ago. And shortly before he died, Pastor John Ortberg interviewed him. And one of the questions he asked him during that interview is, "Do you have any regrets? What do you regret? Do you regret anything?" And Willard's answer was, "I regret the time that I've wasted. The time that I've wasted." And a stunned Ortberg wrote this. He said, "If there's any human being on the planet who's not wasted time, it's Dallas Willard. I don't think he'd know what a television was if it hit him on the head. He's either reading or teaching or doing ministry or doing bits of carpentry around his house or mentoring students or praying. If he's guilty of wasting time, the rest of us may as well sign up for vagrancy hell right now." And then he went on to explain what he thought Dallas Willard actually meant when he talked about regretting wasting time. He said, "Redeem the time," the Apostle Paul wrote. It's here in our text today. "Redeem the time, because the days are evil." I think Dallas regretted all the time he wasted, not because he compared himself to other more efficient people, but because he began to see what life could be. I remember him saying that all of us lost souls allow ourselves to live in worry and anger and self-importance and pettiness when life with God is all around us. Life with God is all around us. And yet so many things that are keeping our focus off that and on other things that can distract us. It's true. Life with God, in relationship with God, is all around us every precious day in ways we expect sometimes, and many times in ways we hadn't planned on, but open up to us and need to be seized. So be very careful then. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Let's pray. God, you are the giver of time, not just in the sense of clock or calendar, but in the sense of opportunity and seasons and moments. We confess to you our own foolishness, those times and ways in our lives where we waste opportunities or squander moments, or are so focused on trying to be efficient and productive that we don't see life with you right in front of us or around us. Help us, yes, to be good stewards of the seconds and minutes and hours that we're given, to make the most of them. But look upon us with mercy, O God, and give us the grace and power and the wisdom that we need to see the opportunities that open up before us day by day, those moments and seasons and occasions where we can preach and practice the life and love of your kingdom, and give us the power to seize them and to say or do something. We thank you again for the gift of this time we have together here today. Help us now as we continue to worship you to continue to make the most of it. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.